Well, the LGA are quite right that we do have a challenge because the population has been growing for several years now. We warned the last government that we needed to invest more money in new school places and new schools. They didn't at the time take the action that was required, so we had quite a lot of catching up to do when we took office. And we've done that. We've spent, as David Simmons pointed out, £5 billion, which is a huge amount of money, making up for the shortfall that the last government created. And free schools are part of that. Free schools are a way of meeting parental demand, not just for school places, but for high-quality school places as well.
Aren't free schools drawing resources away, though, from other schools which could use that money to make more room for more pupils?
Well, free schools are, you know, pound for pound and square foot for square foot cheaper than the schools that were built under the last government. They are value for money. But critically, free schools are only set up where there is a clearly expressed parental demand. And one of the benefits of the free school programme is that we've been able to create high-quality new school places far more quickly than many schools were set up under the last government. And that combination of getting money quickly to the front line, meeting parental demand, and also helping to drive up standards, I think is the right way to proceed.
What's your message then to parents who are worried that their young children won't have a place in a school in a couple of years? Are you saying to them, well, try and get into a free school then?
No, and there will be some people who will be in parts of the country where new free schools are opening who will be overjoyed at this high-quality provision. And I'm sure that in the days to come, the BBC will be chatting to the parents who are absolutely delighted that a new high-quality school is opening in an area where there were a dearth of quality places beforehand. But we'll also be working with local authorities, with people like David Simmons of the Local Government Association, whom you were interviewing earlier, because there's no disagreement between us that we do need to get money to the front line as quickly as possible. And all the changes that we've made to the way in which schools are built and can be expanded are designed to make sure that taxpayers' money goes even further.
Because in other places, we heard this morning about a primary school where they're having to do more of their PE classes outdoors because the PE room is being used for normal classes because they just haven't got the space.
It is true that there are some schools which have been driven to be, you know, remarkably imaginative in the way in which they've used space. It's not an ideal situation, absolutely. What we've sought to do is to work with local authorities to make sure that the money is there and the flexibility is there to make sure that every child has a school place. But unfortunately, we can't move as quickly as we'd like because of the situation that we inherited from the last government. I don't want to make a party political meal of the situation, but when we warned under the last government that there was a pupil place crisis, we were told that we were crying wolf. They told local authorities to reduce the number of so-called surplus places, so we've had to run very fast to catch up.
What do you think you can do to mend relations in your relationship with teachers, head teachers particularly? They feel, a lot of them feel demoralised and degraded. You referred to some head teachers as enemies of promise, to the extent now that many of them are wearing badges declaring that they are enemies of promise. They appreciate the efforts that you're making to improve education, but they don't like the way you go about it.
Well, I had the chance just last week to meet some of the best and most articulate head teachers in the country, a group called the Head Teachers Round Table, a group of people who set themselves up because they didn't agree with everything that this government was doing. But in the course of that conversation, we discovered that we had absolute common ground about the need to improve education for children in this country. And I've found that some of the most enthusiastic supporters of the changes that we're making have been those head teachers who share with me a deep sense of moral purpose about the need to ensure that our society has greater equality of opportunity. One of the problems that we face is not just that we don't have enough school places in some parts of the country. One of the problems that we face is that we don't have enough ambition for our children. It's still the case that there are hundreds of thousands of young people who at the age of 16 haven't secured a proper pass in GCSE maths and English and therefore don't have the chance to succeed later in life. I'm a father. One of the reasons why I wanted to change our education system so radically and so quickly is that I know that children grow up so quickly that if you miss the opportunity to make sure that they have the best possible education, you're blighting their future. Right. So when I talk about enemies of promise, I'm not targeting head teachers or teachers. I'm talking principally about some of those people, political opponents and others, who've been making excuses for failure for far too long. And we have to ensure that children in this country, there's a report out today making the point that children from poorer and working class homes are falling behind. That's indefensible.
Okay.
There's inequality in this society that needs to be tackled.
All right, just briefly, one more point. You say you're not targeting teachers and head teachers as enemies of promise, but that's what they feel.
Well, I can't control perception. What I can do is outline the changes that we're making. More high-quality schools, changes to our exams, an end to dumbing down in the curriculum. More power for teachers, actually, to ensure that there is appropriate discipline in their schools. And actually, we are seeing an increase in the number of schools that are being recognised as good by the Inspector Ofsted. We're seeing more highly talented people with top degrees coming into teaching. And in fact, the number of people who are saying that teaching is a prestigious profession is growing. Just last week, the editor of the Times Educational Supplement, the Bible of teaching, said there's never been a better time to be a teacher. There's never been a better time to be in state education. There are always going to be people, whether politically motivated or otherwise, who want to complain. But there are a growing number of people who want to work with this government in order to ensure that we make opportunity more equal and that we give children the chance to flourish, which too many of our poorer children have been denied. Okay.